What was your best moment of, oh, I'm actually the bad guy here? I used to work security at a college bar, and we would typically ask people to leave who were too intoxicated. One night I was posted up in the DJ booth because it was our normal shoulder-to-shoulder level of busy, and I watched this guy start stumbling and drinking his beer in a really weird way. I make my way over to him and tell him he has to leave because he's too drunk. He tries to tell me something, but I can't understand what he said because the music is so loud and he was slurring his words. We get outside and he tells me that he has cerebral palsy, which was pretty obvious after the fact. He was cool about it and I let him back in, but I don't think I've ever felt like a bigger jerk than that night. I have a buddy who has muscular dystrophy. Once, while in the liquor store, he had a bout of paralysis and collapsed. The reaction from everyone in there was along the lines of, oh great, another drunk, until he told them he has muscular dystrophy and physically can't get up. He said it was kind of funny watching them to all scramble to help him after that. You know when you get in an argument with someone and you come up with the perfect solution for the situation after the fact? About 2/3 of the trains I get on from Dublin to Cork, someone is sitting in a pre-booked seat that doesn't belong to them, whether it's mine or another person. And these people have all been cantankerous old geezers who have no desire whatsoever to shift themselves from a seat they didn't reserve. I had a man who was probably in his 80s stand up to his full height, a foot shorter than me, and bellow in my face that he didn't care that I booked the seat. He wasn't moving, while his shrew wife looked on with an air of proprietorial approval. It's pretty rotten. Finally, however, last month I boarded a train and someone was sitting in my seat with his partner, and I was just the right combination of tired and stressed to let him have it. I'd been waiting for months for my moment. I showed him my ticket, told them it was my seat, and insisted they move. I channeled Seinfeld for the first and hopefully last time in my life, and finally stormed off up the train when they continued to sit in my seat, full of righteous vindication that I was going to get my way. Finally, I was going to get one over on the train. No longer shall I back down to the whims of rude commuters. Now it is they who shall yield to the righteous powers of reservation. I went up to the staff cabin, asked for an administrator, told him the situation, and presented him with my ticket. This was met with, "Ah, I see the problem here, sir. You've reserved a seat on the 6 o'clock train. This is the 4 o'clock train. I'd booked the ticket for 6 p.m. and become mixed up with the 6 in the 1600, or 4 p.m. train. I was mortified. I meekly took a seat near the opposite end of the train and didn't say a word to anyone else for the next 3 hours. In my quest to defeat the rude commuter, I had become what I hated most." The narrator, a mostly very diplomatic person, also feels like the one or two times he's decided to stand up for himself in his life, he has completely misjudged the situation and looked like a complete moron. Ah well. Pulled out of the gas station and this butthole was riding my bumper, honking his horn and waving and pointing. I pulled over, throwing my arms up ready for the altercation, because I'd done nothing wrong. Turns out I drove off without closing my gas cap. Wasn't really such a big deal for how he was acting, but he was just trying to help. I apologized and thanked him. In high school, there was a kid who I unwittingly bullied. I actually thought he was a cool guy, and my friend group and I roughhoused a lot. Headlocks, finger circle game, dead legs, etc. I was just doing what I did with everyone I get along with. One day I came up behind him and did that thing where you kick someone's back leg into their front leg while they're walking, and they trip on their feet. He turned around with fear and anger in his eyes and yelled, "Why do you have to be such a jerk to me all the time?" My heart sank to my feet. I didn't realize that what I saw as friendly bonding play, he found really intimidating. We talked it out and I spent the rest of my high school days being really nice to him. The weirdest part is that he was a pretty popular kid, not small by any means, and on a couple of different sports teams. Goes to show, anybody can feel bullied. I have a coworker who jokes around with nearly every coworker. But not me. A few years ago, I was tired and in a bad mood and trying to clock in. She was joking around with me and trying to keep me from clocking in. I thought she herself was just taking a really long time to clock in, but I lost my temper and I yelled, "Will you hurry up already?" She's never joked around with me or even been that friendly with me since. Realizing that the reason my partner and I are always fighting is because I'm always picking fights. I'm still working on trying to fix this. I was at a restaurant doing a coworker dinner thing when I noticed the woman at the next table was staring me down, like barely blinking, full-blown eye contact. After a while, I started getting pretty agitated when my subtle social cues to stop staring at me went wholly ignored. After about 20 minutes of this, I'd had enough of this lady's unsolicited rudeness, and I did the whole, "Come at me, bro," arms in the air move, thinking that surely that would get my point across. I made a fairly big production of it. Only then did I realize that this lady was completely blind. When my sister was 13 and I was about 10, we were in a food court at the mall. A gentleman wearing a black suit and dark glasses was seated next to us. My sister looks at him, back to me, and says, "Hey, I think that guy's in the FBI or something." I was like, "He's blind," and the blind guy tried to suppress a smile. Went to a friend of a friend's house to chill out. He was a nice kid, but his house was crazy dirty. Dishes stacked to the ceiling, laundry strewn like carpet, old takeout food bags from a ton of places everywhere. Bags of garbage just lying in piles in the kitchen. The place stunk to high heaven, and I had trouble getting comfortable. Later, I commented on how dirty the place was to my friend. Turns out the guy's mum was terminally ill, and the guy had to help take care of her and his younger sibling, all while being a typical teenage boy. I felt bad for judging him. 2 weeks ago, I was dropping someone off at Union Station. As I was exiting the parking lot, there was one of those gate things where you insert your ticket. I inserted my ticket, and the person behind me began honking. The gate was literally in the process of lifting up. I laid on the horn, screaming, "Okay, I'm going!" But they kept honking anyway. I hit the accelerator and zoomed off, flicking them off for good measure in a very obvious way. I drive a convertible, so I can put my hand right out the top. I was furious at them for honking for me to go when it was clear that I couldn't go any faster. I exited and turned left. A few moments later, that same car exited and also turned left and pulled up to me. They put down their window and I put mine down. Yes, everyone, you can have windows up while in a convertible. It reduces the effect of the wind. And I was like, "What the frick do you want, huh?" The lady in the other car said, "You left your coffee mug on the back of your car." She wasn't even mad. I was totally shocked. I looked behind me and sure enough, I'd set my tumbler on top of the trunk and she'd been honking to try and let me know. I turned red, burst out laughing, and told her I was so sorry for being such a jerk. I pulled over and got my cup. I couldn't believe what a butthole I'd been and how coolly she responded to the whole thing. This was my mum's moment. She was driving me and my brother home from the store when we were young, when she drove through an intersection screaming, "You've got a stop sign, lady," out the window at a person that she nearly hit. 10 seconds later, my mother realized that she was in fact the one who blew through a stop sign. All she did was, "Oh." Like any good kids, we still to this day yell, "You've got a stop sign, lady," at her. I was driving home one day and a person in the car next to mine waved at me. I went to wave back, and my hand instinctively flipped the other person off instead. Holy crap, you're like a reverse Mr. Bean. Mr. Mean. Used to think it was funny to quote Dodgeball and say, "You're adapted, your real parents don't even love you." I wish I could say that I learned my lesson the first time when I said this to someone who responded with, "Actually, I am adopted." I won that particular lottery twice. The narrator has been witness to not one, but two "Yo Mama" jokes, in which the recipient turned out to have lost said parental figure recently. It just feels like tempting fate to use any sort of parent-related joke these days. It was the moment I realized that I was in fact responsible for everything I did while mentally unstable. I spent years alienating everyone I knew by demanding that they forgive my crappy behavior because it wasn't me, it was my bipolar disorder. Everyone else was the bad guy because they just didn't understand my illness. I was the victim. One day it just kind of clicked. No matter what the cause, I was the one who was hurting the people around me. It wasn't on them to understand and forgive my endless parade of insanity. It was on me to get help and stop being so toxic to everyone around me. It was that epiphany that really helped me turn the corner. While I'd sought help before, it was always with the mindset that I had no responsibility and therefore no control over my illness. It's not your fault. But it is your responsibility. Dang, this kid that we called Dino Kid because he always acted like a dinosaur at recess. We'd chase him around and poke fun all the time. Nothing big ever happened, but once we, as a class, were educated on ASD, everyone accepted the guy so quickly. The guy was so damn good at Guitar Hero. My fiancé is a 34-year-old man who sometimes, okay, almost every day, acts like a T-Rex stalking me. It's adorable and I love it, but sometimes he gets really self-conscious because he's afraid I'm going to make fun of him for it. I've never in over 3 years together. I think he has dino PTSD. So, one time I was in a high school assembly and a bunch of kids in pajamas started walking into the auditorium. Pajamas were against the school's dress code. Me, thinking I was funny, yelled, "Hey, that's against the dress code." Turns out it was the special ed class. I really felt like a jackass. I couldn't make myself small enough in that crowd. I thought I was saving someone from a bad marriage. I realized I was just convincing them to cheat on their husband. You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below, and subscribe. It wasn't me, but it was amazing to see. I was at Starbucks, sitting outside, along with a number of other people. A gym rat-looking guy starts drawing attention to himself and pointing at people, saying, "Is that white Chevy over there your car?" After a couple of these outbursts, a guy sitting near me says, "Yeah, that's my car." The gym rat righteously said, "You're a royal jerk for parking in a handicapped spot. How can you be so selfish when someone who needs that spot might show up at any time? For all you know, he already drove through the parking lot, couldn't find the space, and he headed back home empty-handed. Blah, blah, blah. The car owner, 'I'm sorry, I'm handicapped. I forgot to hang the tag when I left the car.' The gym rat, 'Oh, really?' At this point, the car owner, who'd been sitting down and showed no signs of handicap, stands up. The guy is basically bent in half, like his spine is fused in a 90-degree angle. He looked perfectly normal sitting down. Okay, I'll go to the car and hang the tag." The gym rat, upon seeing him stand, sorry, you don't have to do that." The car owner slowly and uncomfortably walks the 40 feet to his car, opens the door, fumbles to hang the tag, and then ambles his way back to the seat, rigidly bent the entire time.
ButcherBox is 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, all humanely raised with no antibiotics or added hormones. And all of that delivered straight to your door with free shipping, always. Imagine always having high-quality cuts in your freezer ready to go with no trips to the grocery store or planning out availability and knowing that it's food you can trust. There are curated to customized box plans at incredible value. Saving money at a grocery store is getting more and more difficult, especially when you're trying to get consistently high-quality meat. Sign up at butcherbox.com/jerk and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free-for-a-year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/jerk and use code JERK to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, "must not take yourself too seriously," and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I was in grade school, I had a serious problem keeping my mouth shut. Basically, if a thought popped into my head, I was freaking saying it. The teachers didn't exactly appreciate the constant blurting out, but one time I really crossed the line because I made fun of a perfectly sweet girl just because her mum smoked. F you, former self. I was already a problem child, and while I wasn't technically expelled, I did have to leave and go to a different school. So yeah, basically expelled, but off the record. What's worse is that it took about 2 years of sulking for me to finally realize that I had it coming. Every bit of it. Gosh, I can't believe how much of a craphead I was. I was a freshman in high school. I don't know why it occurred to me, but I figured that if you rubbed the little cage that held your books under the desk the right way, it would resonate and make this loud humming sound. I'd sit there and wait for the teacher to turn her back and start. She'd turn around and look at the air conditioner vent that was right above me. Of course, when she did, I would stop. She'd look bewildered and then turn back around. Of course, I would start up again. Being the quiet kid, no one in the class suspected me. It was hilarious. Until they closed the classroom down for a couple of days because they had concerns about the air conditioners malfunctioning. When I was 10 or so, a friend of mine got appendicitis, so the teacher asked us to write letters of support to her. Little me thought I could troll her in the same way I could do in the internet, which isn't even justified online, by the way. So I wrote an entire letter joking about her condition, wishing it got worse, and saying in the end that it's all a joke and I wish she got well. The teacher came to class, mad and disappointed, and proceeded to read my letter without saying my name. I instantly knew I'd messed up, and I never did it again.
Never did it again? How often do your friends get appendicitis?
Actually, last year I got appendicitis and my friends didn't write prank letters. Oh no. They visited me at the hospital and told me the most effed up jokes so that when I laughed, my abdominals hurt like a B-word after the surgery. Let's just say I got what I deserved. I would say that this seems like a banter thing that the teacher might have misinterpreted, but then again, not many 10-year-olds can pull off that level of dark humor. I know that it's the kind of thing I'd write to certain friends if they were in hospital. I was the assistant manager of a fast food place in college. A bunch of punk rocker looking guys my age came in to eat around the same time as some soccer mums with little kids. One of the punk rock kids was pretty intimidating, easily a foot taller than me and built like an athlete. They were all perfectly nice when they ordered their food, but once they got their cups to fill up their drinks, the big guy started screaming and cursing at the top of his lungs, "Mother fricking pig fricker son of a B-word!" The mums all looked horrified. I'm normally quite averse to conflict, so I was quite proud of myself when I marched around the counter and got right up in this big dude's face. I looked him straight in the eye and told him that if he had a problem acting like a human being, he needed to get out of my restaurant. He looked back at me and almost started crying. He whispered, "I'm sorry," and turned around and walked away. He looked absolutely destroyed, and his friends followed him trying to console him. Either that guy legitimately had Tourette's, or the whole group of them was pulling a prank, and were absolutely the best actors I've ever seen. Oh gosh, I still feel bad whenever I think about this. So about a year ago, I was on a long international plane flight. I always book the aisle seat because I have a GI disorder that means I sometimes have to get to the bathroom with very little notice. So being trapped in the middle or window seat is suboptimal. I get all seated for my flight, which is the second leg of probably 12 or more hours of travel, and I'm so exhausted I start to nod off before boarding is even finished. I'm awakened by a man politely asking if he can have my seat. Groggily, I explain that no, sorry, I set this up this way because of an illness I have, and I get up so that he can have the window seat. It was a small flight, so no middle seat at least. The nerve of some people, right? If you wanted the aisle seat, why didn't you just choose it beforehand, random dude? The world doesn't revolve around you. Well, about 3 hours into my flight, I woke up again, feeling slightly more human, and I end up having a conversation with my roommate. And within about 5 minutes, I discovered that no, he wasn't asking to switch seats, he was telling me that I was in his seat. Apparently, the airline had switched who was seated where so that he could be closer to his wife and daughter, who was sitting across the aisle. I hadn't looked at my electric boarding pass since going through security, so I didn't notice the change. I apologized profusely and offered to switch immediately, but the poor guy just said it was okay and declined. Ugh. I should probably mention that I'm a short, baby-faced girl, which probably made it worse as this middle-aged guy clearly had no idea what to do about a small, early 20-something girl who looks more like a 12-year-old than anything, telling him he couldn't have his assigned seat. Honestly, that dad might have secretly loved having some personal time. Yep, because of that inconsiderate chick in the aisle seat, I had to do nothing but watch a movie, read a book, and nap for the whole 12-hour flight. Sorry, honey. I've flown a lot with our daughter, sometimes alone and sometimes with my wife. That's not a lot of difference in my opinion, as the main difficulty is just the endless activity and interruptions. It's not difficult as much as relentless.
If the kid is in between the parents, neither of them gets much rest. Now, if the poor mom was stuck with two kids, then you truly are a monster. In middle school, I pulled some really creepy stuff on a guy I liked, as in an insane amount of physical stalking. I memorized his schedule only through following him everywhere, and I always appeared in the same place he was. I took one of his belongings that he forgot somewhere and took an assignment of his that was posted on the class corkboard because I just wanted his stuff. At the time, it didn't even occur to me that what I was doing was messed up. All I thought about was, how can I be around this person without having to interact with him? It's been over half a decade since then. If I did any of the crap I did as an adult, I would have been arrested with at least a few restraining orders. My friends told me it was messed up, but I refused to listen. I probably did some serious, permanent mental damage to the poor kid. I hope he's managed to recover, and I hope he never has to worry about anything like this again. He deserves the relief. My best friend's younger sister had a weird headband on one day. We were in high school at the time, so she was in middle school. She and my friend didn't really get along, and she was kind of mean to me too, so I saw an opportunity to tease her and said, "Nice headband." Turns out she had cosmetic surgery of some kind to make her ears stick out less, and the headband was there to cover her surgical wounds. I sure felt like a butthole. This actually happened yesterday. It's not that bad of a thing, but I was driving on a road and I saw someone on a side street pull out onto my road, right in front of a girl that was trying to cross the street. Immediately, I got teed off that this D-bag almost hit a girl, just to be fast. So I followed him for about 30 seconds until he parked, so I drove right up next to him and said, "Hey, butthole, you almost killed that girl back there. What the frick were you thinking?" He looks confused and just said, "Dude, she waved me ahead and let me go. What the frick are you talking about?" Immediately, I started to apologize, telling him that it looked bad from where I was. But yeah, I went from hero to zero real quick. I broke up with a close friend and made up with them recently. I was being emotional and lashed out, questioning their friendship because they wouldn't drop everything they were doing for me. I know now that I'm wrong. My friend has always been there for me, and I still feel bad even though I apologized. I'm a bad friend. Got into a fist fight. We were equally sized and matched, but I came out on top. For those of you who've ever been in a fist fight, you know that line you're not supposed to cross? You know, when the fight should be over, but you throw another punch anyway? I crossed that line. I threw several more punches. I wasn't proud afterwards. I'm not entirely sure this fits, but I'll put it down anyway. I used to be insanely shy and thought everyone hated me for no reason, because they wouldn't talk to me. Turns out I was intimidating because I never wanted to talk, and was too scared to be around them, so they eventually gave up. Since then, I've been trying to make an effort to be nice and say hi to everyone, but I'm still struggling a bit. In first grade, I was making fun of a short boy without realizing I was hurting his feelings. It got to the point where I'd upset him so much, he buried his tiny first grade fist right in my stomach. I was left lying on the playground trying to catch my breath. Sort of an eye-opener then and there to treat people the way I wanted to be treated. Good on him for jumping to make sure he actually could get you in the stomach. My dog was barking for no reason and wouldn't stop after I yelled at him 3 times. I turned around and he's at the door looking at me with his derpy face while the neighbor's dog continues to bark. Sorry, bud. A guy kept bumping into me in line at a theme park. I kindly asked him twice to back up a bit and give me some room. The 3rd time I turned right around and raised my voice a little and started to show some irritation. This guy was clearly on the spectrum. Parents and family shuffled him back a few steps and apologized to me. I almost cried from embarrassment. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories, or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Genius, give Am I the Jerk a shot. Everything linked in the description.